earlier. Oh, about a half an hour to spend with my preacher in his office a little bit, and we were just talking about church and church building, just a lot of different things. And, you know, he said, I sat where you sat at one time, Brother Sean. He says, I pastor a small church. And, of course, he through the years, he saw the growth in different things. And he said, he says, because I was just talking about the people and different things that are going on, and, you know, he taught me, gave me some advice on how to handle certain things. But he says, along the way, God will give you men that'll stand behind you, that'll love you irregardless. And I thank God for that. And I mean, I could take the whole hour, and I'm not going to do that. And I just thank God. But let me just say this. I thank God for every single individual here. You stood behind me these 8 months, my family and I, and you've loved us. But he was just saying that, that along the way, the pressure and the load of the ministry will be eased some. There's going to be people that's going to step up and say, preacher, I can take care of this for you. Preacher, I could do this. There's going to be ladies that'll do the same thing. Preacher, I could do this, or whatever the case may be. And such is the case tonight. I've got a fine man that came, a few months ago. And he's been, from the very get-go, from the very, very day one, just about, he says, preacher, whatever you need, I'm just here to help you. And whatever it is that you need, I want you to let me know because I want to help you. And as so many others have done the same thing, but he, from time to time, he'll just pull me aside. The other day, he pulled me aside. Is everything okay, Pastor? What do you need? Can I do something? And he's just been very watchful. He's been very watchful of me. And I appreciate that more than he ever knows. And it's a privilege to have him be my pal, my friend. He's helped me in a lot of ways. And you've seen this dear family just in different areas. I mean, from VBS and different things and the Harvest Party. I mean, I'm not going to take the credit. They helped spearhead a lot of that. I'm so very grateful and thankful for that. And so it's my privilege tonight to be able to get some preaching. I need it. Some of you are saying, yeah, he needs it. But it's just my privilege to be able to sit back, if you will, and hear some good preaching. It's my privilege to have my good friend, Brother Robles, come up, and he's going to preach to us. So come preach.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm humbled by those words tonight. I just love serving Jesus. Amen. Let's stand tonight, and let's go into Ezekiel. And I'm shaking a little bit, but that's all right. Been here before. Amen. So I want to talk to you tonight and just allow the Lord to speak to your heart from Ezekiel chapter 37. And an interesting scripture, really, verses 1 through 14. And we'll read responsively tonight and just enjoy the preaching of God's word. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and said, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking of the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews of the flesh came upon them, and the skin was covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and they may that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, a great, exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold of my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you up into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that tonight, Lord, you be with my feeble lips. You help me tonight, Lord. I need your help. Without you, I can't do nothing. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you prepare our hearts as well to receive your word. Thank you for your word, for it brings life. It brings hope. Father, if there's someone here hurting tonight, I pray that you comfort them. If there's someone here lost without hope, I pray that in Christ they find the hope they need. And Lord, we just thank you for all things and thank you for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been an equal joy for us as we come into this church to find a place where we can serve, to find a place where we can call home and enjoy working with the people of God, by the way, who love God. It has been evident since we've been here that there's many of you here that love the Lord and love serving the Lord. From the time we went through the craziness of the BBS and putting things together and, you know, people coming along from all corners and helping us out and getting things together, it would not have been the success of what had it not been for the Lord and, of course, the people who joined hand in hand and helped us. But I was thinking just a couple of weeks ago as I was down in Plymouth Harbor. And as I was there, Bob always wanted to see the Mayflower. And I was looking for an excuse to get down there. And we were up around the church and just happened to be down in Plymouth Harbor. I took Abby and I took Alex with me. And all of a sudden, I said, you know what? I'm getting that ship. So we paid the fare there off. We didn't do a Jonah. We went in and, you know, walked through. And I began to look and to see what 120 people endured with faith in God to get to this nation to make it, I believe, the greatest nation in the world. I thought the small little compartments, and then when the lady told us there were 32 children that came on that ship, I thought, I travel with 5 kids in the car each week for 45 minutes, and they can't be at peace. For 9 weeks, these people had 32 children running around in what was the hull of that ship because they could not come up. And I thought about it, and I thought, they came with their children because they wanted this stay to be a permanent stay. If you look at history, the difference between the Virginia plantation and this plantation was the fact that when the Virginia plantation came, they came looking for gold and riches. They came looking for worldly goods. When the plantation that came to Plymouth came, they came looking for heavenly goods. And they said this, we come here when they wrote in their compact for the advancement of the gospel. They wanted to preach Jesus Christ. And that desire to bring Jesus Christ and to worship him freely gave birth to the greatest nation in the world. And I look at that and I say, man, I'm glad I'm in America. I stepped inside of it and I said, man, 120 people had enough faith to let God with his mighty hand from nothing make something. Amen? Because they trusted in God. And now I stand here in history looking at what I thought was a great accomplishment. To them, it was probably a long journey and many hardships and many trials, and we know that. But their faith in God carried them through it. And it's the same God that carries us through our situations today. I look at America now, and maybe I stand like the prophet Ezekiel at this point. Can you imagine the task that he's been given? I spoke a little bit about Ezekiel this morning and some of the many things that Ezekiel had seen in his ministry. The death of his child, the death of his wife. He saw many things through his ministry that would probably cripple most of us in our Christian life. But I look at the challenge that's presented to him here. Here is the prophet Ezekiel, and God brings him to a place. Now, I love object lessons. I don't know about you, but I love object lessons. I think when you can have a visual and an object lesson, you learn better. Jesus believed a lot in teachings, in parables. Why? Because when we could take something that we see physically and relate it to something, we learn better. It's just the way we're made. And here, God is going to give Ezekiel an object lesson. He brings it to a place, and the place he brings them, you know, sometimes you have to wonder. He brings them to a place where there are many dead bones and dry bones. Look at the observation, please, if you go with me in chapter 37 and verse 1. And he said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones." Now, I don't know about you, but there's something about seeing a body or a cadaver or seeing bones anywhere that kind of is a little creepy, isn't it? Now, I will have you know, I'm as brave as the next guy, but when I see something like that, you know, I have to stand back a little bit and kind of take thought. And here is Ezekiel, and he gets brought to a place of death. He sees nothing but death around him. Now, I want you to see the situation of the children of Israel. The children of Israel, of course, were captive at this time. They're exiled from their land. And as a result of this, it was God allowed this to happen because many times God had given Israel the law. And it was no people like the Jews or Israel in that day, that God was their God. And they were the people of God. And God said, "If you hearken unto me and obey me," he said, "I will bless you going in and I will bless you coming out." He says, "I'll make you the head and not the tail." I mean, many times God promised them that if they were obedient, God would take care of them. But over and over again, Israel fell into disobedience. And in disobedience, of course, with disobedience came captivity. And so it's the way in our Christian life as well. You know, when I obey the will of God, there, and I heard it said so many times, there's no better place, no more perfect place to be than in the will of God. Obeying God. You know, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. I tell you, when you're serving God and when you're doing what God wants you to do, God just, there's doors of blessing that opens. And even though there may be hardships along the way, God always powerfully brings you through them. You know, and God always takes care of his people. But here, Israel many times disobeyed, and of course, they fell captive. And God began to hearken them, and Israel would repent, and God would deliver them mightily and powerfully. He would deliver them. But once again, evil men would begin to rule Israel, and once again, Israel would fall again into captivity. So much became their disobedience under the kings that Israel finally fell into captivity, and so much that they were exiled from their land. We read so many psalms, and we read one of my favorites is where it says, "By the rivers of Babylon we wept." And it was really a song of remorse because they were exiled from their land, and now they're sitting weeping in Babylon because they're remembering Israel. They're remembering what they had. They're remembering their land. They're remembering their prosperity. They're making remembrance of Israel, and they said, "We wept and we hung our harps." Their joy was gone. And many times as Christians, listen, we are suffering from lack of joy because we're not in the will of God like we should be. Or maybe we've fallen into disobedience, or maybe somewhere along the way we fell out of the will of God and we find ourselves captives. And you know, Satan has a heyday when a Christian is disobedient to the will of God. He'll make a mockery out of you. Let me tell you something. If there's one thing that Satan wants to do, is he leaves the world alone. They're already his. But he targets the people of God, because if he could get them to fall and if he can get them to fail, he's made a mockery of them. But I'm not looking at what he's doing, amen? I'm looking at what Jesus is doing. And that's who I'm going to follow, amen? But here they find themselves, and Ezekiel finds himself in the middle of dry bones. Dead, dry bones. Now, if you could picture this, please. It seemed that these bones were bleached white from the sun. They had decayed. Now it is believed that this was one of the armies that fought against Syria when Syria came to take over Israel and Babylon came to take over Israel. Literally, these were some of the very army that fought against them. So Ezekiel here could be looking at his very own kinsmen or people that were Jews. He could be standing upon their dead carcasses. And then he makes the observation, he says, not only did he bring me there, but he set me in the midst of a valley of bones. And look at what he says in the next chapter, and they were dry bones. He said, and he caused me to pass by them, and about them, behold, they were very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very what? Dry. Now they've gone to that stage of decomposition that the bones were bleached white, nothing left. And God sets him in the midst of that valley. And God said, I'm going to teach you a lesson. But then what amazes me is what God tells him to do. And he says unto Ezekiel here in the very next verse, he says, prophesy. First of all, he asks him a question. Isn't it amazing how God brings him into the place where there's nothing but dead bones, dry bones, and then he asks him a question. He said, Ezekiel, look at me now, listen to me. Can these bones live? Isn't it amazing that God sometimes brings us to a place and there's something he wants us to do? But first he wants to know, do we have the faith in him enough to get the job accomplished? And can I tell you folks that God brings us through stages of preparation. He brings us in our lives through experience in our life. Experience, if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a very long time, you know that there's certain experiences that God has brought you through. You may not understand what it was, but every time God brought you through it, you just got a greater picture of God. And you realize that God is powerful. And you realize that God is strong. And you got a more clear picture of God so that the next time the experiences comes on, we can still trust him the rest of the way. And the very God that brought you to the experience in the beginning shows himself more powerful in the end. And here he says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, you're in the middle of dead bones. Sometimes I think God has a sense of humor. Because he said, you're in the middle of dead bones. There's nothing here but carcasses around you. They're dead. And then he says, can they live? He's asking Ezekiel. I mean, if he asked you or me, sometimes you wonder. If he were to ask you and put you in the midst of dead bones and all of a sudden, can you imagine if he brought Brother Blaine, the great prophet, you know, and he says, he puts him in the middle of a cemetery and he said, hey, Brother Blaine, can these bones live? First of all, in today's day and age, we wouldn't know if it was God talking to us. We blame it on something else. But here God says to him, hey, isn't it great that God had brought Ezekiel to this experience and Ezekiel knew the voice of God? Every experience just gives me a little greater glimpse of God and I can know him better. Every situation he brings me through, and you know, he places him in the midst of the valley of the dry bones and he says, can they live? Now, really, the way that some scholars put it, the way that the question was asked, the only answer that Ezekiel could have given was no. And it's the way that the scholars put it that the question was phrased, but I don't know whose scholars they are, but all I know is the response that Ezekiel gave was a great response, isn't it? Ezekiel said, look, God, I've seen you, And there's glimpses that God gave Ezekiel. First of all, Ezekiel was the only, was one of the men that saw, that had those great visions in the first chapter that we read about. God gave Ezekiel glimpses of things that he can never, that we will never see. He gave him Ezekiel the vision of the wheel in verse 151. He gave him a vision of four living creatures in the form of a man, and each living creature had four faces, the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle, and each had four wings, and it says that their appearance was like burning coals. You can read that in chapter 1. He saw a vision of a man from the waist down. He was like fire and iron, like a glowing metal, in chapter 8, verse 2. And so he saw things that you and I would never see. He got a glimpse of God that you and I will never have, but he said this. First of all, God said, now that you've seen everything that I've allowed you to see, can these bones live? And if God were to put you right now in the middle of a situation, God is going to ask you the question, will you trust me? And here's what Ezekiel does. Ezekiel gives a great response. And the response that Ezekiel gives, he said, and upon me, he said, he said, oh, Lord, God, thou knowest. I like the phrase that he uses, oh, Lord, God. He says, you are supreme. You are mighty. The phrase there means Jehovah, the mighty one. And he says, thou knowest. He said, if anybody knows that these bones can live, only you know. I mean, it's not up to me, God, what he's saying. It's not up to me whether these bones live or not. It is up to you. And then God tells him to do something, prophesy to these bones. Now, there's many times that God will put you in a situation. And here's what he says to him. He says, if you want these bones to live, here's what I want you to do. He said, prophesy. Simply, the word prophesy also means preach. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus the Lord God, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinners upon you, and I will bring a flesh from you, and cover you with the skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And so here's the perfect response. Verse 7, here it is. So I prophesied as I was commanded. What am I trying to tell you tonight? Listen, God may ask you to do an impossible task. God may ask you to do something that you think, you say, how can I ever get this done? But all he's asking you to do is to trust him. Because all Ezekiel did was put forth obedience. And he said, God, this is what you want me to do. So he said, I did as I was commanded. And how many of us are willing to trust him when he gives us a command to trust him? I tell you, God has sometimes blessed us in the midst of dry bones. The reason I brought up the Mayflower in America is, America of yesterday is not the America of today. Many dead and dry bones in our land. Sometimes we might go through neighborhoods, you know, and we may bring the gospel and we wonder, Lord, what can you do here? What can really be done? We know that in our nation, drug abuse has gone to an all. By the way, the biggest abusers of drug in our countries are doctors. Handing out prescription because everybody thinks that their ailment or their spiritual condition can be treated with drugs. We have a nation today that believe that every error that we feel, or every hurt that we have, or every psychological thing that we may experience can be cured somehow in some kind of drug, in some kind of way. We have new worries in our world. Stress is the biggest thing killing people today. There are more conditions that are caused by stress today than any other. And we've gone from a nation that trusts God to a nation that trusts man. And even the pharmaceutical companies are having their commercials on television telling you that you can't possibly go on without their drug or their prescription. We have commercials on TV that children are viewing today that they should not be seeing. But because we want to treat a spiritual condition in a worldly way. And so the bones have become dry. And our nation has become dry spiritually. And literally, if you were to take the spiritual pulse of our nation today, we found out that they're dead. We have let go of God. When the Word of God was the predominant thing in 1963, we told the public schools, we don't need the Word of God in our schools anymore. It's okay to teach witchcraft. It's okay for in the school library to have books on witchcraft. It's okay for the school library to have books on Mormonism and have books on Muslims and have we have socialist teachings in our public schools. It's okay to have that, but we can't have the Word of God. And so our bones have become dry. And the spiritual condition of our nation is dead. Sometimes, you know, you listen to the news or you listen to people speak and it seems like the condition is hopeless. It seems like there's nothing but dry bones out there. And it seems like here we are preaching and we're teaching and we're not seeing a response. But you know, God did not call us to go out and so much depend on results on us, but leave the results up to Him. He said, go, I will make you fishers of men. He said, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did He not? You know, that's my responsibility. The rest is up to God. Whatever God does from there on, He's the one that brings the life. What did He tell Ezekiel to do? Prophesy. Just prophesy, Ezekiel. And can you imagine Ezekiel when he started to preach to dead bones? There's sometimes I've been in a church where I feel like I'm preaching to dead bones. There is no reaction. There is no amen. Just a bunch of people staring at you. What are you getting to? And hurry up. The game is almost over. Soon my favorite show will be coming on. How long is this going to last? And all of a sudden, you don't know it, but the bones are becoming dry up and dead. And He said to Ezekiel, prophesy. Amen. I tell you, there's nothing more discouraging when a preacher gets up or when we go out door knocking and it seems that no one, there is no response. It seems like sometimes, and I know I've gone out for weeks and knocked on doors and knocked on doors and knocked on doors and don't see one person saved. But if I don't see that, you know what I'm going to do the very next week? I'm not giving up. I'm just going out again. Because the bones may be dry. There may be death out there, and it might be dry bones, but it's God who brings the life. Here it is. We see it in this chapter of Ezekiel. He says, prophesied, and I prophesied as I was commanded. Listen, the best thing we do with God is to get on the side of obedience. If we're obedient to what He calls us to do, if we're doing what He calls us to do and get in the place of obedience, there's nothing but blessings that wait for us in the other end. I want to be on the side of obedience. So Ezekiel said, and I did as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise. Man, isn't that great? When you go out, and all of a sudden, one may respond, but it just makes it exciting. When the first one got saved, I remember how I went out so willing for 2 years before I saw anybody saved. And I kept thinking it was me. And I just followed preachers, you know, and I've learned from them. And I would stand behind them and I said, okay, he's doing the very same thing I'm doing. I'm not seeing anybody saved. What's going on? So, you know, what did I do? I went back out the next Thursday night and I said, I'm going to watch what he's doing and see what am I doing that's wrong. And then I kept going. And you know what? Eventually, somebody got saved. And when somebody got saved, I said, boy, I can't wait to get the next one. And then all of a sudden, the noise and the shaking of the bones came together. And I bet you Ezekiel's message got a little more better. I bet you he got a little more excited. And I bet you he got into his preaching because there was a saving. Because it's God who produces the finished work. It's not me. It's all about Him. And the bones might have been dried. And the life may be gone out of the bones, but all of a sudden, Ezekiel said, lo, He said, I commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, the shaking of the bones came together, bone to his bones. Listen, you may be given up, because you feel like the places you're going to, the bones are dry. You may be given up because you feel like the place where God has placed you, no one's going to listen to you. You ever get to a place where you figure out, you said, how can I, you know, there's places that we've gotten to. I remember when we were in Holyoke, Massachusetts, we had, number one, the biggest problem with teenage pregnancy. We had the biggest problem with drug addiction. We would walk into buildings where a sign would say, please don't shoot up in our hallways. Our kids are watching. And we figured, the first time I went into that neighborhood, I remember we were so winning. I brought Pastor Tharp with me. So glad came with me. We went to this neighborhood, and all of a sudden, as we're coming down the stairs, just knocking on a door, some guy was punching the lights out of another guy because he took his drug money. And we were about a distance like this. And I thought, what can God do here? These bones are dry. They're dead. Went to the next door and somebody got saved. And I think about this. God will put us in the midst of situations. Listen, we can either look at the whole task and say, it's impossible. Or we can say, God, it might be impossible for me, but with you, all things are possible. And as Ezekiel began to preach, behold, there was a shaking of the bones. I'm glad. Man, we need a little noise in our church. Amen? Not only do we need a little noise, but he said, behold, blow the sinews. And I bet you his preaching got better because all of a sudden there was a shaking and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Not only was his preaching getting better, but I'd be scared at this point. Would you not? My human reaction would be, man, I'm freaked out. I'm sorry I used that word. It's not perfect English. I understand. But if you were standing there, all of a sudden Ezekiel is preaching, and all of a sudden the bones that he's stepping on that are brittle and dry are coming together. Now, you may look at me sanctified and saying, what a great thing, but you know you would have been half scared to death. The pages would have turned and your hand would have been shaking. But Ezekiel did as he was commanded, and as he preached, bone came upon bone, city upon city, flesh upon flesh. By the time he was done, a mighty army stood up. What I'm saying, folks, is not hopeless. The situation may look bleak from our standpoint. Sin looks like it's winning. It seems like things are getting worse and worse. I remember in 9/11 when it all happened, everybody was, God bless America. Let's pray for America. And soon too early, we forgot the lessons of 9/11. And we're in a worse mess than we were before we were there. Now the fear has taken over. And the bones are becoming dry. You know, I was reading, and I know this is a little harsh, but did you know what the payment was if you didn't show up for church on Sunday back in those days? They would take you out publicly and whoop you. Now, I'm not saying we ought to go back to that, but I bet you our attendance would increase.
Amen.
But they thought it was so important to be in the house of God. They thought it was so important to be under the preaching of the Word of God that they were willing to make it a crime if you weren't there. And I know that we're in the stage of grace. And God does not more demand it of us. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. God merely asks of us. But listen, thinking about everything that Jesus has done for me, he died for me, he shed his blood so that I could have eternal life and I can go to heaven deserving hell. I could do no more but to serve him.
Amen.
Out of love. But when I think about the stage that we've gotten to, a nation that forgot her greatness when she forgot God. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I've been praying about Tuesday night. Because the outcome of this election can very well depict our future. And not that our solution, listen, not that our solution for this nation is a political solution. The solution for this nation is a spiritual revival back to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are those that are looking to silence the voice of those that bring the gospel. And our very Congress is a so-called fairness doctrine that would limit those that would bring hateful speech. And did you know that because we preach against sin, and did you know that because we preach against homosexuality, because it is a sin and God still calls it a sin? Did you know that because we preach against drunkenness, because it is a sin and God still calls it a sin? Did you know because we preach against immorality, we don't longer call it sexually active, we call it immorality and sin? And by the way, that's how the world, and let me chase this rap for a while, that's why the world does what it does today, is because they changed the name of sin to something less offensive. We no longer have children that are immoral. We have children that are sexually active. We have no longer people committing murder and abortion. We have people terminating or having a right to choose. We give it and deaden the term because we no longer want to offend people by telling them they're sinners and they're going to hell. And did you know that would be the very thing they look to silence? But bless God, I'm going to do as I was commanded.
That's right.
I'd rather be obedient to God than obedient to man. And I'm going to prophesy. Why? Because when God gives the life, all of a sudden he preached and there was a movement and there was a shaking of the bones and they came together. And exactly what God said, he said, they stood as an army. But here's what happened. And the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Verse number 8. Then what did he ask him to do? He said, okay. Remember what you did the first time? Do it again. He said they came together. The flesh came together. The sinews came together. Look at verse 9. So he said, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, and prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. And listen to verse 10 again. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Man, there's no greater joy for the believer. There is no greater happiness for the Christian than to do as he is commanded, than to do the will of God, than to do, listen, the greatest thing the Christian has is the commandment of God, because we get to obey him. Amen. And he prophesied, and when he prophesied, all of a sudden God gave life. Did you know that people don't come to church just because you're good looking? I hope that didn't ruin your dreams. Or people don't come to church just because I'm eloquent. I'm not eloquent. I speak with an accent. I still do. I've tried to get rid of that thing, but it still happens. It's the Spirit of God that does the work. Without him, we can't do nothing. You know who gives a life? It's the Spirit of God. It is interesting that in the beginning, God breathed into man to give him life. And in the last days, God breathed into us his words of life. And with the Spirit of God, it causes them to live. It is interesting that Jesus, to his disciples, how he said, he blew upon them and filled them with his Holy Spirit. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Interesting that God gave life to man by blowing into his nostrils. And today he gives life to the believer by giving him the Holy Spirit of God. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. We need the Holy Spirit of God. What we can accomplish in the power of the Spirit of God. Even in the middle of dead, dry bones. You may think the task is impossible, but God can still use you. So Ezekiel did as he was commanded. And look at what he said. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Listen, what a great message we have, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that can take a man that is spiritually dead and give him life. Isn't it great that it's the very Spirit of God that in the last days, at the last trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise? This is one of the first stories of the resurrection right in this chapter. And it's God who's given us the message of hope in the resurrection. Isn't that great? You say, that's an Easter message. No, it's an everyday message for me. Amen? That we can tell the sinner that he doesn't have to die and go to hell, but he can live again in eternal life in Jesus Christ. I was glad to be able to share with that with a man who was, his bones had become dead. When he sat back there, he told me where he had come from. And I realized he was spiritually dead. But by the time he left here, God gave him life. For I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Now listen, you look at the text to this message. God gave Ezekiel this message in the midst of captivity. When Ezekiel was at his lowest, the death of his wife, the death of his son, now a prisoner, exiled, God says, Ezekiel, let me tell you something. Your situation is going to change. And I tell you, I'm glad for the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the only one that can change any situation. I still believe. And that's why, you know why I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know why I love sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because it works. Amen. Because it gives life to the dead. Because it gives hope to the hopeless. Because it gives peace to those who are without peace. And what do we have to do? Exactly what Ezekiel did. I did as I was commanded. There's no excuse for us not to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world. Listen. We may look at America as a whole and say the pulse is dead, but we can bring life community by community. You know that God, if we were to try to change this whole nation as a whole, we would be crazy. But if we can change one life at one time, reach one at one time with the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is hope for America. I don't know about you, but I haven't stopped praying for revival. I haven't stopped praying that God will wake up the heart of our nation. I want to stand in the midst of the dry bones, and the situation may look hopeless, but I'm going to do exactly what God called me to do and leave the expectations up to Him. Amen? Amen? He said, preach, and Ezekiel said, I preach, and I left the expectation of God, and something happened. And I'll tell you what, you do exactly what God tells you to do. You leave the expectations up to God, and God will use you to bring life once again to a lost and dying world. God's called you to be the one to bring the message. You say, how can God use me? If God can use me, He can certainly use you. I'm nobody. And the truth of the matter, all of us are nobody, because without Him, we can't do nothing. But when we come to the end of ourselves, we need to get filled with God. And that's when God can use me. And God may place me in a place that I may think is impossible, but His greatest work is yet to happen. Listen, do you believe God can bring life to America? Amen. Why don't you do your part and bring the gospel to others? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that today you help us, Lord, to be as Ezekiel, to do as he was commanded. What a great message we have, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a great word you've given us, the gospel, the Bible, to bring to a lost and dying world that may be spiritually dead, but that, Lord, you can use us to bring words of life that we may reach them. Preacher?
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. What a wonderful message that was. I want to ask you a question. What can you do to help reach your community? What can you do? Maybe there's something in our church that maybe God's laid on your heart. What can you do? That's the question. Tonight, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit, in just a moment, is dealing with you about once you come forward, in just a moment. The pianist is going to play in just a moment. Why don't you come forward and do business with God tonight? Our heads are bowed. Heavenly Father, now bless this invitation. Please, Holy Spirit, move greatly upon them in the midst of these people. In your name, let's, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. On the first note, whatever it is, what can you do? What can you do to help reach America? What can you do to reach our area? What can you do maybe in the church? What can you do maybe different in your family to try to ring them in or bring them in, so to speak, for the cause? What can you do? That's the question tonight. Why don't you respond to it as a pianist plays? That's it. That's it. You're moving. Good. That's it. Amen. A lot of young people praying together, families praying together, men are praying together. How about you? Invitation's still going. Come on. We desperately need revival in America tonight. What part can you play in that? Maybe tonight you feel a little dried up. I don't know. Maybe the Spirit of the Lord has just kind of been taken out of you. Aren't you tonight? Maybe you need a little bit of revival in your heart. Invitation's still going. We'll go just as long as we have to go before we get done here. Anybody else? I love seeing men and ladies and young people and families praying together. You know, if we're going to get the job done that we need to get done for the Lord, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take prayer. You know, and if we're going to see, you know, Brother Robles alluded to it tonight, you know, if we're going to, we ought to be praying for Tuesday. Go out and vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. You got to, you know, take that word of God right there, and you line up with that word of God as far as who you vote for and so forth. But I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. But we need to be praying for America. We definitely need to be praying for America. We need to do our part. And what it's going to take It's going to take what's happening here at the altars. You know, and let me just say this as your pastor, because I love you. You know, I get concerned. I get concerned how someone can stand and hear the fire of God being preached and the word of God being preached, the Holy Spirit coming down, and just kind of, you know, but we become immovable. It amazes me sometimes. And I'm not pointing anybody out. I'm not doing that at all. But the truth of the matter is, you know, somewhere along the way is exactly what Ezekiel did here. You know, we got to get a little bit of fire in our own bones. You know, we've got to get excited about something again. We've got to understand that what we're doing is a whole lot bigger than us. It's all about Christ. And, you know, as your preacher, may I see a vision. I see big things going on. We're going to keep on going forward. We're going to plug forward and not quit and not turn back. I mean, there's souls to be saved. There's lives to be changed. There's families need to be reached. What can you do about it? And what will you do about it? What will you do about it? I'm going to have the pianist play one more stanza. I don't know, maybe there's some unfinished business that needs to be done tonight, but I just feel like the Lord, one more stanza there. And after this, I mean, if you haven't moved, maybe you need to move tonight. I don't know, but maybe you're just standing there. You say, you know what, I got to come to the altar. I just need to give something to God. And if nobody comes to stanza, that's fine. We'll just stop. I surrender all. If anybody wants to come, that's good. That's fine. Just keep it going. It's okay. No, people still coming. It's okay. Keep it going. It's all right. That's it. It's okay. Music's still playing. If you're not moved yet, it's okay. We'll keep coming forward. It's all right. Keep it going. We'll get out of here in due time. It's okay. I know the Spirit of the Lord met with us tonight. I thank God for what He's doing and what He's going to do. And well, I love preaching. Thank you, Brother Robles, for preaching tonight. And I appreciate that so very much. And, you know, your preacher needs it too. And I got it. I got it. You know, some of you, I know you were there saying, oh, God, get him. but praise the Lord, we need it. And that's what we're going to need. We're going to need our altars full. We're going to need to be praying and begging God for his power as we go forward. And be praying for America and be praying what we can do about reaching this area for Christ. I'm talking about just our every single town around us, 30, 40-mile radius. Let's just go ahead and go win them for Jesus. Amen. So very, very important. But, you know, we've had enough. I guess I got to close in prayer now. Amen. I could just keep on going. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, how powerful you are and how great you are. Oh, we've heard your word preached, and we've heard it preached this morning, tonight. We're going to hear it Wednesday. We're going to hear it week after week. And we just thank you, God, for the freedom that we have now to be able to preach your word. I pray, dear God, that you continue to bless us, bless our church, and bless our dear families. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you just continue to do a great work. And may everything that's done here, may we never lose sight of who actually is doing it. That's you, God. May we always give you credit. May we always keep you first and forefront. Now we ask all these things now. But now, Lord, bring us back safely Wednesday. Give us a wonderful week. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.